Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Okay, welcome to the one and only Dog Pod, folks. We're a little light this week, Law Dog.
No BT. Where is our intrepid host?
Wow, this could be a little wild, folks, this year. We're live from Tavern Hall in beautiful downtown Bellevue, trying out something a little new. You know, not only no host, but we're just going to roll off the seat of our pants here tonight with a new location.
I think a high-priced call girl just walked by, Mitch. She winked at you.
Could be trouble. It could be trouble. We're gonna have some fun this week, but first we got to start off with a little bit of a low note to recap last week's matchup with Utah. Law Dog, we knew it was going to be a tough one going in, and it looks like the can't-finish-so-strong Huskies showed up yet once again.
Well, you guys called this. You were a lot worried, more worried about it than I was. Utah takes it 33-28. You know, this game actually got off to a great start again. I mean,
yes. You
know, we used to complain about the slow starts, but the strong, you know, we always had the strong finishes. Now we got the problem in reverse. But, I mean, Utah goes 3 and out. Washington drives the length of the field after that, finishing it off with a touchdown pass to Jordan Chin, and it's 7-0 Washington. Utah goes 3 and out again. Then the Huskies cough up a fumble in their own territory, Mitch. This one was Jacob Eason kind of just trying to wiggle out. It basically hands Utah a field goal, so it's 7-3. You can't give away points in a game like this, and this would come back around. But the Huskies' offense comes back again, scoring another touchdown. This time was on a really nice pass to Hunter Bryant for 34 yards and a touchdown. So they were up 14-3. Teams trade a couple more punts. Then Utah does kind of finally get going. Huntley finds Zach Moss on a third down, Mitch. I don't want to belabor the point, but another one of those big third downs.
Yeah.
And they cut it to 14-10. Then Washington here. I mean, minute 37 left in the half, and they end up turning it over on that crucial fourth down, kind of near midfield. Utah is able to go down and grab a couple more yards and grab another field goal, and it's 14-13. I just can't help but think, man, this should be 14-7, if not 17-7 or 21-7 at this point. And you just knew that this was going to come back around the second half.
So let's unpack that just a little bit, okay? So there are several things that really frustrated me with that possession. One was, if you're going to go for it on fourth down, totally fine with this, and we're talking to quite a few Dog fans on the way out, but don't take the timeout and let them reset, let the clock run down all the way down, right? And then if you're going to take a timeout and you don't like your play call, then take the timeout, but then you've milked the clock all the way down.
Yeah, a lot of questions about Peterson's clock management. I kind of disagreed with some fans were saying that, just because I think at that point you want to preserve the time. In your mind, you know, you're thinking you're going to make it. You're going to want that time. I could see it either way, obviously. And it ends up being a mistake that costs them, right?
Right.
So in the second half, Huskies, you know, Eason throws a really tough back foot interception. And this was just not his best day this week. So it gives Utah the ball right away. But, you know, Utah doesn't do much here. They punt on their first possession. The Huskies get it back. They're able to score. This was another touchdown pass to Hunter Bryant for a 40-yard just gallop down the field.
Right.
Utah coughs it up again. The Huskies, though, just can't get going offensively here. And then finally, just right at the end of the third quarter, Eason obviously driving down the field, throws the pick six. And now it's 21-19, and it just, even though the Huskies were winning, it was headed in the fourth quarter here, it felt like we were losing. We just couldn't get the ball moving at all, and the defense, you know, just couldn't stop them forever, right?
Yeah.
So then, obviously, Utah with the big two scoring drives in the fourth quarter, both touchdowns. The Huskies go 3 and out after both of those touchdowns. And, I mean, Mitch, it's just the same song all over again. The Huskies tack on a garbage time touchdown here. Make it 33-28, but, I mean, this one wasn't that close in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know, the frustrating part was they couldn't get off the field on defense. It was well documented in the Seattle Times how many third and longs Huntley converted. You know, he's really progressed, but he was also just kind of throwing the ball up. and his receivers were running under it. And
they were running right by death row secondary. I mean,
dude,
it just, you know, for all the criticism I gave Bush Hammond last week,
mm-hmm.
and I think that was deserved based on how they played the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
You look at them score 28 points this week, 31 points against Oregon the week before, 50 against Arizona. The offense really is waking up and doing its job. I never would have predicted after that USC game that the defense would be falling apart like this, but they got burned on go routes by the Utes, and it did not look like death row out there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think they made the plays, right? There's a reason they're the number 9 team in the country, and the frustrating part, I think, for Dawg fans is that used to be the Huskies making those plays for the last several years, and it just, for whatever reason, this team can't put it together and do that.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, the last 2 weeks, you look at Utah and Oregon, there's a lot of commonalities. One, they're both really good on the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And two, those teams both have a lot of seniors,
yeah.
including quarterbacks, but also in your defense. And you look around at the Huskies right now and you go, I don't see senior leaders outside of Miles Bryant.
Right.
I don't see a guy on defense that's your senior war daddy out there. On the offensive side of the ball, you know, I feel like this offensive line has really let me down the last 2 weeks. This was supposed to be a strength of the team. And, you know, maybe it's a coaching issue. Maybe they're trying to do too much. But it's just they don't look like themselves. They don't look like we know they can look. And it just has shown up. Eason's been under pressure. Not that some of these interceptions were not his fault. I mean, he had a really terrible day out there. But, you know, you got to protect him. That's fundamental, right? You got to start with that. So I've been really let down the last 2 weeks. But you also played two really good teams that are right. veterans. And, you know, looking back on it now, you can kind of see, oh, yeah, those are good teams.
Yeah, totally. And you see that, right? And they just kind of wore the Huskies down, quite frankly.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the other frustrating part is that's what the Huskies used to do to others. And, you know, I guess back to the offensive line, I think that's a really good point. I mean, on one side, you can criticize Hamden for his play calling. Once again, some weird little option type of pitch things on a 4th-and-1. The pass to Devin Culp, which he can't pull in as well. I was frustrated at the time with
God, they had him though. I mean, on that, but that was the 4th-and-1 at the end of the first half, and they had a 3 tight ends out there, and they had Culp wide open, and Culp just dropped it. I mean, I don't blame that one on Bush, but certainly I agree with you on the speed options and all the running the ball.
It's too cute, right?
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Exactly.
They're
it's
not
cute.
Trusting. If your line can't pick up a 4th-and-1 with a 6'4" quarterback,
yeah,
who
I think
just
that
has
kinda,
to lean
that
forward,
that kind of says it all.
Then that goes back to the offensive line. He's getting too cute because maybe he's trying to cover something up that this line is underperforming.
Yeah. No, right. I'm with you. I mean, Eason, just to put a bow on that, 29 for 52. He did have the 316 yards, so a lot of garbage time, 4 touchdowns, but 2 picks and a fumble. I mean, you just can't turn the ball over 3 times against these guys and hope to win. Salvon Ahmed, you know, 14 yard of carries for 50 yards, didn't get in the end zone. Barely anybody else even saw a carry in this game. And, of course, Hunter Bryant was all over the place with over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was, you know,
right.
He was there when you needed him,
right.
But he can't do it himself. And so, yeah, even though this team put up 28 points, I just can't help but feel disappointed because there were so many crucial 3-and-outs, and I think that goes back to either play calling, whether it's a killer instinct, whether it's your offensive line. I mean, certainly they had a couple of drives where they committed a couple of penalties right out of the gate, and there's 1st-and-20. I mean, you know, and it just feels like to me, and I tweeted this after the game at LawDogPod, they just beat themselves, you know. Utah obviously looked like a better team. You tip your cap to them. I wish them well, and I hope they win the conference. But it's just tough when you beat yourself that much to walk away from there and feel good about it. You just can't.
Yeah, you know, it's really weird. It's like they're a half step off on plays. Certainly the secondary, to your point, getting burned on those 3rd-and-longs. You know, we'll see. It goes back to what I mentioned last week's show. I think they're really going to have to re-recruit a lot of these pieces to come back, a lot of the juniors, to see if they can finish on a high note. You know, I still feel a lot of this coaching staff on my mind on how I feel about them will be whether they can retain some of these key players. Levi on the defensive lineman, I know everybody says it's a long stretch with Eason, but honestly, he doesn't look like an NFL quarterback with his decisions.
He did not on Saturday. And, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. But obviously, Levi Onwuzurike, a huge, you know, potential returnee, but could leave.
Right.
Elijah Molden, who's played lights out.
Totally.
I mean, it wasn't him getting burned down the sideline, you know, on Saturday. So those are two guys that I could see either going or staying. And if they stay, I mean, the more guys that stay, this is looking like a really good team next year. But, I mean, they are taking their lumps and paying their dues right now.
Totally. And that's the painful part if they're just reloading next year with more younger guys. Right? So you kind of can expect the same.
Yeah.
You need that continuity with some seniors sticking around who have been there, and previous teams have kind of always had one or two guys. Not everybody, but they've always had enough of that, and I think that's the void that at least I'm seeing this year. You just, to your point,
you don't have
enough of them.
Do we win the conference last year without Greg Gaines?
Likely not, right?
You know, without Gaskin.
Right,
guys who came back. So
totally,
yeah,
and Browning,
I mean,
right? Like,
Browning.
I think there's a lot of Browning fans out there that are doing a little bit of "I told you so." You know,
well,
I'm not ready to go that far.
But
I think there's starting to be some of that out there.
I think there's an appreciation for Browning right now, where, you know, he was a cerebral guy who always had him in the right protection. He always had all those things. You know, it was just his arm that couldn't kind of do the heavy lifting.
Right.
And now you got a guy who's got a huge arm. But you're seeing breakdowns elsewhere. So how much of that is on him, the coaches, the players at different positions? You know, I can't say, but there's something been very frustrating about this season. And I agree. The more guys that come back for next year, the more those kinks will iron out and we'll be ready to hit the ground. And, and I mean, this conference is there for the taking next year.
Totally.
And we want to be back on top. So.
Right. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's move on to this coming week. Let's go glass half full and talk about what we have to look forward to. We've got the 5-4 Huskies. They're actually 2-4 in the Pac-12, which is kind of crazy. I didn't think I was going to be saying that. On Friday night, down in Corvallis against the Oregon State resurgent Beavers. Now 4-4, 3-2 in the Pac-12, standing above the Huskies in the Pac-12 North, Law Dog. All right, Huskies are looking up at the Beavs for the first time in a long time. Let's break this game down a little bit.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Not for long, Mitch. Now, let's go back into the rivalry a little bit. I kind of like to do this with these old games. Huskies of 65-34 with four ties in 103 meetings. So this is the 104th meeting of this rivalry.
Wow.
Huskies have won 65, including the last seven.
That's a big spread.
And not only that, I mean, you look at that 2012 game, Huskies won 20-17. Outside of that, every single one of those seven has been a complete blowout. So starting with that 69-27 in 2013 with Siler Miles, I was at that game, Mitch.
Yep.
I'll be there again Friday. We're going to recreate the magic, the Siler Miles magic. But I mean, this is not the Oregon State team of the last 5 years. I mean,
no.
I think our boy Jonathan Smith has, like, he's done a pretty darn good job down there. It's starting with Jake Luton, only one interception. Where have we seen that, right? Huntley is that guy who, you know, finally hitting his senior year, hitting his stride. Jake Luton's in that category in his sixth year in the program.
Yeah.
He's throwing to Isaiah Hodgins. Great target. And then they've got, you know, the running back, Jamar Jefferson. They've got some weapons on this offense, and it's showing up. They put up 56 points against Arizona last week and beat them. And I think that was kind of the one where everyone said, this team might go to a bowl game.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing for a bowl game now.
And talk about momentum, right? I mean, that's a big deal. And then if you start talking about a coach who knows the Huskies well, you certainly look at Jonathan Smith, who's been on the inside of this coaching staff with Chris Peterson. So there's a lot of stuff going the Beavers' way in this matchup.
Well, and they're playing with a lot more confidence. They're playing at home. They're getting us on a short week. Yeah. We're going on the road. I mean,
you know they're pumped.
I mean, look, you see the line in this game. It opened at 11. It's down to 10. And you can just kind of see why. It's like, this is going to be one of those ugly shootouts where it's like maybe the team that's got the ball last. I mean, that's kind of what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Huskies aren't approaching the game that way. They're thinking, hey, we need to get our defense on track, and, you know, now's the time. But, I mean, this is a legit offense at Oregon State. It's not going to be a pushover. Now, that said, we're going to flip the tables a little bit. Kay. Like I said about the Husky offense.
Yeah.
Jacob Eason and the offense putting up 52 points in Arizona, 31 against the Ducks, 28 against Utah. Good defenses.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they're going against the worst defense in the conference. I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, Oregon State, especially in the front seven, man, I mean, they should not be competitive in this game. I think we are going to see 25 carries to Salvon Ahmed, 14 to Sean McGrew.
Great, great.
I bet we could see some Richard Newton in this game, but there'll be a third running back who's getting 10 carries in this game. Yeah. We're going to run it 40 times down their throat. I mean, that's
until they can stop it, right?
That's what's coming in Corvallis this weekend.
I sure hope so. And then, you know, set up some play action. You know, Jacob Eason certainly done a great job with that. That Jordan Chin pass that you were referring to earlier in Utah was a thing against Utah was a thing of beauty. But I agree with you. Run the rock.
And
has to be the theme
this
week.
If you run it 20 times and you're up a couple touchdowns and then you uncork one of those play actions down the
great.
I mean, it's you could see the Husky offense. I think they've taken a step forward these last three games. And, you know, we talked at the beginning of the year, right? They were going to hit this patch of the schedule that we just finished, right? Starting with USC, then going to Arizona, Stanford,
yeah.
Places where you've had trouble. Then you got your best teams you're playing, Oregon and Utah, right? And, you know, the Huskies came out of that stretch 2-4 in those six games.
Yeah.
I think we all kind of looked at these last three and said, we're going to take those for granted, right? You're at Oregon State, you're at Colorado off a bye, and then you got the Apple Cup. But, I mean, those teams are looking up right now and saying, this is our year to beat the Huskies.
You're right.
Revenge You're right. on their mind. And all of those three teams have a long losing streak to Washington, and they are going to want revenge starting this Friday. So, I mean, this is going to be, you know, you're going to get everything that Jonathan Smith has in the playbook. You're going to get everything he has in the toolbox on Friday night. So they better be coached up and ready and want to play in this game.
Right.
Or it could be a tricky one.
I totally agree. And you know those Beaver fans are going to be hopping down in Burrito Stadium, ready to rock and roll. And the Dogs have had a lot of success there, but they're going to be tested, all right? So let's talk a little bit then about the Beaver offense against the Husky defense, okay? I like looking at the last three games. I'm a big fan of that. Beavers had that big 56-38 win against Arizona, 572 total yards. Luton had 328 yards in the air, as you were mentioning, the senior. Isaiah Hodgins, 150 yards. Artavius Pierce had 114 yards on the ground. When they seem to get that ground game going, watch out. It certainly sets up Luton and what they want to do. Then, the game before that, beat Cal 21-17. It's a much closer game. Still had 281 total yards. Luton was 18 of 34 for 174 yards and two TDs. Artavius Pierce had 22 carries for 70-odd yards. Not much on the receiving side of the house there. And then finally, their offense got shut out kind of a little bit expectedly against Utah in a 52-7 loss. That was one where they just basically got ran. Luton only had 131 yards, one interception. Artavius Pierce only had 21 yards rushing, and Hodgkins 77 receiving yards. So I'm sensing a theme here, right? You've got a couple players that if you can keep under control, if that defense for the Huskies can step up, they know who to target, be stout against the run, slow those guys down. And I'm telling you, you got to think about what you're going to do with Hodgins. And I think you got to spy him a little bit, either with Miles Bryant or maybe Molden. Put some of your better DBs on him and not risk some of the stuff. Like, I hate to say it, but like Kyler Gordon's starting to get exposed a little bit, right? And so
yeah.
You want to line up against their top target with some of your top talent and see if you can just shut them down. And then I think it'd be pretty smooth sailing. But, you know, it's easier to say than done, Law Dog.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, especially in the defensive backfield. Right? You know, you've got McDuffie's playing great.
Yes.
But Gordon, Taylor, you know, some of those younger guys, I mean, a big penalty by Asa Turner in that Oregon game. You've had some mistakes and some young guys kind of getting exposed, to use your term. And
yeah.
So this is going to be a big test for the secondary because – this Beavers offense puts up points. So, to me, if I'm Jimmy Lake and I'm looking at who's on the field, if I see a guy who's not producing, I want to see next man up, because these next three games are really about getting ready for next season and beyond. So if you got a guy who's not cutting it against Oregon State and it's been a long 3 weeks out there, then I would kind of be in favor of mixing it up and seeing what somebody else can do.
Yeah.
Let's turn a little bit to the Washington offensive side of the ball. I mean, I kind of touched on that in our initial comments, right? I mean, I expect we're going to see a lot of the running game in this one. Oregon State on defense, the defensive line just does not stand out to anyone. I mean, they have very few sacks. The linebackers really do most of the work on this team, and it kind of starts with Rashid over at linebacker's got 9 sacks. I mean, wouldn't you like to have a guy with 9 sacks? But Hamilcar Rashid Jr., he's the junior linebacker from Phoenix. I think that's a guy who the Huskies are going to need to kind of key in on, make sure we know where he is on the field. But, I mean, you do those things, you play your game, you stick to your game plan, and let's pound the rock. I think the Huskies should be able to put up points in this one. Oregon State's had a lot of trouble, you know, getting through this schedule unscathed. And they've given up a lot of points, as you mentioned. I mean, 52 to Utah a week ago, 38 to Arizona even in a win. They gave up 31 to UCLA in a win. They gave up 31 in a loss to Stanford. And then, of course, 52 to Oklahoma State in their opener. So this defense has been pretty porous. It should be a good opportunity for the Husky offense to kind of continue the trajectory they've been on, put up some points, and just get out of here with a win, baby. I mean, the style points really don't matter at this point in the season. Just get to 8-4, win a bowl game, hit the recruiting trail with some momentum. That's the goal now.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're totally setting yourself up for next year, right? And, you know, try and build that momentum, get it done. It's kind of a goofy Friday night game. Pretty cool for dog fans because you get to watch the Hoops game, and then you got the football game on at the same time, kind of the tail end at the Hoops game.
And truck racing on FS1 starts at 5, Mitch. Starts at 5. So if you're on FS1, you know, just don't be shocked if you get a little drip of the truck racing into the 7:30 window.
Oh, gosh. Let's hope not. Let's hope not. All right. Let's take a look around the rest of the Pac-12. Kind of a light week, right? First, let's start off with Stanford at Colorado. Stanford sitting at 4-4 overall, 3-3 in the Pac-12. At Colorado, 3-6, who's 1-5 in the Pac-12. Colorado kind of got ran at UCLA towards the end of that game last week. What do you think about it, Law Dog? Who are you taking?
You know, I have to say, I want to hope and I want to believe that Stanford's good because they beat us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact of the matter is they've just been terrible. So, you know, I kind of actually just like Colorado here to get one at home. I mean, especially getting 3.5 points. Give me the Buffs. I mean, I picked against them last week, and our buddy Buffalo Matt gave me a pretty tough time on Twitter. But, you know, I like them at home here, and Stanford is just objectively terrible. So let's go, Ralphie.
Okay. I like it. Next up at 12:30 p.m., you've got USC at Arizona State. That one's pretty interesting. USC coming off that tough loss against Oregon, right? And that was a beatdown, dude.
Oh,
big time.
I mean, they looked terrible out there. And basically, that was the death knell for Clay Helton. Not that anyone was picking him to survive this year, but now in a week where they were trying to announce a new athletic director, it sounds like maybe he's having some cold feet. It sounds like there's an issue about whether or not Urban Meyer is on the acceptable hire list or not. but, I mean, just to give our listeners an idea, USC, you know, we kind of have been poking fun at them. They have had a ton of problems on the football field, but they also had a school doctor, a gynecologist, who has been accused of dozens, if not hundreds, I don't know what the actual number of, a sexual assault on female college patients down in LA. And so for the university president, I don't think people should be shocked that they're saying, hey, we want to be sensitive to the fact that we're paying out millions of dollars in settlements to these women because of this issue. We don't want to make it look like, you know, we're not taking women's issues seriously.
Insensitive to that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I think it's not totally out of left field for them to say, you know what, Urban Meyer, you're a little bit stained. There's other good coaches out there. And so they seem to be in a little bit of a dispute about their athletic director, Bond, who hasn't formally, even though they kind of announced that he's going to be the athletic director, has not formally signed. So he may still back out.
Gosh,
it's a real
so
mess.
Awkward.
Given,
so awkward.
Given all this on the field, Mitch, give me the Sun Devils at home. Herm Edwards is all business.
Yep.
He just wants to get this win this week. I'm going to take the Devils with a point and a half at home.
I like it, man. And they're coming off a bye. You know, so they're well-rested. I just think that everything, the momentum's leading towards the Devils here. There's less drama, right? There's just too much going on around the USC circus right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and I mean, we always are quick to jump on them, and they are actually laying at 1.5. So yeah. I'll still take the Devils, but yeah. I think that this is one where they've been all business for 2 weeks. They're not reading the papers. They might be having their own fun down there, but USC is in turmoil city.
And 2 years ago, when Herm Edwards got hired, could you imagine that they would be in this position? If they pull off this win, I thought it was going to be a disaster. It was super weird how they were setting up this CEO of college football operations or whatever Herm was calling himself. But it's working, man.
Yep.
And I agree. I think he's got them playing really well and really focused.
Well, and don't forget, Jaden McDaniels, their quarterback, he's an L.A. kid. And he's a kid who probably dreamed of going to USC.
Yeah.
He definitely, you know, was thought to be in the mix. Jaden Daniels. In the mix
yep.
for to go to UCLA. And, I mean, he ends up at ASU, and he's had a decent year as a freshman. He definitely had a lot to do with them beating the Cougs that week a few weeks ago.
I'll tell you, he looks better than DTR a lot of the times in my mind when I watch him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. So that was sorry, I cut you off on that a little bit, but you know that'll be an interesting one to see how that plays out.
Oh, I think that'll be a good one.
I think we're all leaning towards Arizona State on that. And then the wrap up, 4 p.m. Pacific time, the Washington State Cougs, 4-4, 1-4 in Pac-12 play, at Cal, who's 4-4, also 1-4 in Pac-12 play. Cal was off to that hot start, kind of sputtered a little bit. Classic Cal style. We get them early in the year when they're fresh and rested and at their toughest, and now they're kind of hit their peak and now trending downwards. This is going to be a real interesting matchup in my mind.
I would have really liked to have seen what they could have done this year with the healthy Garbers.
Yeah, I
just
agree.
It really disappoints
team.
Me because they were looking really good. I mean, when we lost to them, unlike Stanford's terrible.
Yeah.
We suck for losing that game.
Yeah.
Cal was actually a good team. They beat us fair and square last year. They beat us fair and square on our home field this year. I really would have liked to see what they could do. Evan Weaver. Spokane kid,
yep.
going up against the Cougs.
Yeah.
But without Garbers, this team is just aimless, Mitch.
Yeah.
And Mike Leach, he just finds a way to get it done when he needs to get it done. And when they're favored in a game like this, they're favored by a touchdown. The Cougs are going to take care of business. I don't know why, but I'm feeling it. 7.5, give it
yep.
to me.
Yep, 7.5. I agree. You know, if they were... If I was Cal, I would make sure to be spying Borgie quite a bit with probably Weaver. But then you've got all those weapons, and you let Gordon toss up ball around the yard. I agree. I think the Cougs are going to rout the Bears.
Be good to see. I mean, frankly, I want the Cougs to be, you know, riding high when they come into Husky Stadium. So I'm rooting for them the rest of the way until Thanksgiving, Mitch.
Okay. Well, sounds good, Law Dog. You know, hey, it's amazing. You lose one host. And you can wrap a show up in around 20-something minutes. It's
well,
kind of odd, right?
What do you think we were doing when you weren't here, Mitch?
Great point. All right, well, we hope BT's having a great time on his vacation in Florida, sitting by the pool, while we're holding down the fort out here.
Hard
right?
at work at Tavern City here.
Tavern Hall.
Tavern Hall with the high-end prostitutes and the very expensive beer, Mitch.
Oh, wow. All right, well, at that note, that's the Dog Pod checking out. Go Dogs.
Woof.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Washington State University.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Oregon and Stanford.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.